And you can go ahead and be seated. Now let's get into the words here and let's look at some things. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And let's look at chapter 15 and verse 57 here. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. Look what it says here. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, I want you to look at what Paul's trying to get across. First of all, I want you to see, and we've taught on this before, but we just need to keep reminding ourselves that we already have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that. Once again, when we go to battle, when we come against the enemy, anything that we do, we are not doing it from the position of a victim. We're doing it from the position of a victor. Come on, we're not doing it from a position of weakness. We're doing it from a position of power. You see, because we've already been given the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that Jesus has already made an open show of the devil, triumphing over him, and when he triumphed, so did we. So what our elder brother Jesus Christ did, our Savior, our Lord, is He paved the way for you and I to walk in victory and operate in victory here upon this earth. Now, I know this is foreign material to a lot of folk, maybe a lot of those that are watching, but for you, you know this already. You've been taught. I've already brainwashed you to know that, okay? You know that you're victorious in the Lord. And see, here's the thing. I didn't brainwash you. That's what the Word says, right? Come on. God wants us. See, I want us to think about having a different mindset, and I'll talk about it in just a minute. But we got to understand, folks, the main thing that we have to exercise is the Word of God. Okay, we'll get into it just a little bit more, but I just want us to just understand that the Word declares that we already have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at your neighbor, say you're a winner whether you know it or not. Amen. It's true. You're a winner whether you know it or not. Now, along with that, of course, you know, I've just wore this scripture out, but it's because it's not being preached and it's not being taught. But go with me to John 10:10. Let's all just read it together so that you see this is not pastor's word. This is the Word of God. Here in John 10:10, now, Paul just told us that God gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's already been given to us. But now look here what Jesus says in John 10:10. He says, "The thief cometh." Who is the thief once again? Come on, it's the devil. It's Satan. It's Slewfoot. Here's what the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's Satan's agenda on this earth, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Anything that falls under that category is the devil. It's the enemy. He's behind it. He's pushing it. Here's the thing. We had storms go through last night. Now, you know, a lot of folks will say, well, you know, ain't a thing in the world we can do about the weather. Well, I read in the Bible at least two times where storms came up and it wasn't a natural phenomenon. I'm going to read to one to you in just a little bit, but understand the enemy uses what he can in this world system because that's what he's the God of. He uses what he can to manipulate and do what he can to steal, kill, and destroy with what he has to work with. Okay? Now here's what Jesus said. He came. Does your Bible say that too? Is yours in red? If you got a red letter, Jesus said that, right? Jesus said it, not the pastor. Jesus said it. But then he goes on after he says he comes to kill, to steal, to kill, and destroy. He says, "I am come." Jesus is saying, "I myself, I am come that they might have life." Who's the they? Us. All of us. every person on this earth, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This is what Jesus says, I've come, the thief come to steal, kill, destroy. I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Now see, you got to get a hold of this. God's given you the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I came to give you an abundant life. Now, let me give you just about three or four other translations. In the New Living Testament says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's what Jesus said He came to do, to give you a rich and satisfying life. Message, I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Come on, that's pretty awesome, right? That's the kind of life that Jesus came to give us. The Good News Bible says, I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its fullness. Life in all its fullness. The Amplified, of course, says this, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Can anybody see that the Lord Jesus Christ came so that we could live a blessed, abundant life? You see, so now here we have God saying, I've already given you the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus comes along and says, now, I came so that I could give you some abundant life. Let you live life to the fullest. Better than you could ever dream of. Man, I can dream big, can't you? But He says, that's the kind of life that I've come to give you. So, let's look. How can we have this abundant, victorious life? How is it that we do that? Well, 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You see, it's our faith that's going to allow us to overcome the world. It's our faith that allows us to walk. If I don't believe I'm walking in victory, then I'm not walking in victory. Come on now. It's through faith that I believe I already have the victory. Why? Because the Word said it. If the Word says it, then it's settled. And so I'm going to believe the Word. Right? So it's our faith now that helps us to have the victory, but it's also our faith that causes us to have abundant life. I've got to believe that Jesus wants me to have abundant life. I can't believe that I'm not worthy of it. Come on now. I can't believe that I'm not worthy to be victorious in this life. I've got to believe what God says about me. Well, yeah, but now, Pastor, I just don't feel like I'm living that abundant life, right? Did you notice it didn't say nothing about you feeling it? He didn't say, if you feel like I've given it to you, got it. He said, I've given it to you. And if Jesus said, I've given it to you, then you have it. But it's up to you to take your faith and walk in it. See, this is how we overcome the world, through our faith. The world doesn't have faith. Not the God kind of faith. Now, I know they believe things and they say they have faith in things. But until you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't have the God kind of faith. Now, you can believe things again and all that, and you can be successful in things. But you have to have God in your life if you're going to have the God kind of faith. Amen. Amen. It's that simple. Well, you know, I'm looking at this, and I see that, you know, I'm born of God. Therefore, I've been given the victory that overcomes the world. That's my faith. Now listen to this. Faith is not only our belief in Jesus, but also in the Word of God. Not only do I have to have faith that Jesus Christ died on a cross, was placed in the tomb on the third day, He rose again, confess Him as my Lord. That's how I have faith for salvation. That's what gets me saved. But if I want to walk out this faith walk, this victorious life, this abundant life that He's saying I can have, I have to have faith in the Word of God that what God says in His Word is true. What He says about us in His Word is true. What He says about anything else in His Word is true. And it doesn't matter if somebody else over here don't believe it. It don't matter if another church says, well, we don't believe it. Well, I can't help that. If the Word says it, it's true. You know, now again, I'm not against any other church. I'm just telling you that you've got to be with what the Word of God says if you're going to be with God. And I know a lot of folks got a lot of opinions and a lot of things. But I'm going to just tell you something. If you believe something that doesn't line up with the Word of God or goes against the Word of God, then you believe a lie. You get mad at me about that if you want to. You know, I mean, our president declared a day that's just despicable. And, you know, it's far from what the Word of God says. Matter of fact, the Word of God is exactly opposite of what He's declared. And so, therefore, that day's a lie. Now, you get mad at me. I'm trying to help you walk in truth. If you can't walk in the Word, then you're not walking in truth. Jesus said, the words I speak, they're life and they're truth. Amen. They'll bring you life. All this other stuff is just going to bring death. And so we have this faith in Jesus. We have this faith in the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Right? We ought to have that memorized by now. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But listen, there is a difference in hearing and understanding. See, it's one thing to hear the Word, but understanding the Word is knowing how to correctly apply it. Okay? Now, I know we're talking about some things here. There's a difference in hearing and understanding. If you go to an optometrist, ear doctor, whatever they're called, is that what they're called? Optometrist. That's eye doctor, okay. Ear doctor. What's the ear doctor called? What? Audiologist. Right, because it's audio. Okay, thank you, brother. Jason's got all these facts in his head, kind of like Austin. Thank you, I appreciate that, brother. Okay, all right. So scratch that other thing I said, eye doctor. If you go to a hearing doctor, okay, that way I get it right, okay. If you go to them, I tell you what they'll tell you. They'll tell you, I can make anybody hear. But the thing I'm supposed to do is to help you to understand what you hear. It's not about the volume of something, how loud it is. It's about whether or not you can understand what you heard. And their focus is that. Anybody can get hearing aids and they can hear louder. But if those hearing aids are not tuned in to that person, the frequencies that they need to be able to understand in, they may hear it louder, but they still won't understand it. Okay? So it doesn't matter how much word we hear. It's good to hear the word always. But at some point, we got to begin to start understanding it so we know how to apply it. There are folks that can quote Scripture left and right and don't have a bit more clue what it means than anything else. They have no understanding of what it truly means. And so I want us to get into this and talk about this just a little bit, because I want us to be able to understand how to apply it correctly. Okay? Jump over here with me. Very familiar Scriptures. Mark 11. Now, if you weren't here in the anniversary, Pastor Huffman did just most awesome job of preaching and teaching on this area. And he brought out something in that I'd never heard before. He actually said God gave it to him. And it was before Jesus came walking through, and he's going back into Jerusalem, sees the fig tree there. He's hungry. And he walks over to it, and it doesn't have figs. And he speaks to that tree and tells it, you know, there's not going to be any more fruit growing you from ever, from now on. Now, Pastor Huffman got into the fact, and I thought it was pretty cool, that the Bible said, and Jesus answered the tree. And he said, well, if he answered the tree, then the tree must have been saying something. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So Jesus is having a conversation with the tree. But here's what I want to pull out of that. That was his, I mean, it was as a great analogy. But what I wanted you to see was that Jesus spoke to that tree and told it was going to die. He said, you'll never have fruit on you for the rest of your life. And of course, the next day they come walking back through. It's dried up from the roots. And Peter even mentions it. And when he mentions it, says, Lord, look, the tree you cursed, it's dead. That's where we want to pick up here. Now I want you to look here in verse 11:22 here. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say to you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And of course, he goes on and talks about forgiveness. It says, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now here's something that the Lord spoke to me in this as I was studying this out, meditating on it. He said, I want you to go over there and I want you to go back to that. But here's what God began to show me. He said, here we have two different avenues of faith. It's still faith in the Word. It's still faith in God. But notice here at the first here in verse 23, what does he say? For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he saith. Notice that. Now, here's the thing I want to bring out about this. Did you notice there that Jesus did not pray for the mountain to be removed? See, here's what you got to catch in this thing. He did not pray for the mountain to be removed. He said, speak to that mountain. See, speaking to an opposition or speaking to something is part of the heritage of the saints. I'm going to prove it to you in just a little bit. Speaking to things. Now, there's the other avenue of faith where we pray. Notice the next thing he says here, see, because he's showing us two avenues. The next one he says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. See, there's another avenue here. One is I'm praying about something I desire and it's going to come to pass. Now, here's the thing on that. Faith says, I got to believe I got it now. And so I'm using my faith that I got it now. The minute I pray, I got to believe I got it if I don't see the manifestation of it for 2 years or 20 years. I never come down from the fact that I believe I receive it when I pray. See, that's using faith to stand until it manifests. Okay? Now, the other one, speaking to it, that's another situation. Now, what I'm doing is I'm rising up using my faith to take my authority upon this earth. I'm speaking to the mountain. Now, Jesus is talking about a literal mountain when he sees it, but metaphorically at the same time, what he's speaking about is whatever it is that's in front of you that needs to be moved. Amen. So you see, we've been praying, we're pulling down strongholds, and we're speaking to strongholds. And that's what you and I need to be doing, is we need to be speaking to situations. I started yesterday morning, and as soon as I got up, I went to the radar, I opened up the radar, I saw where the storms were, and I began to speak to them on the radar. I began to say, storms, you cannot come in here and damage any property. Wind, you can't hurt anything. You can rain, but you cannot get the creeks out of the banks and flood. Now you say, you're a crazy nut. I'll be a crazy nut for Jesus then. Because Jesus, now you see, I'm going to prove to you that I can do this. Right? I'm going to show you in the Word of God that we can do that. And see, here's the thing. You have to learn that you have authority to affect things like that. You have to learn that. And see, folks made fun of that lady back when all the tornadoes come through. And she was down there in Morgan County at her place. And she was outside praying in tongues, looking at the storm. And people laughed and made fun of her. But you know what? Storm didn't hit her. Come on now. So I want to show you some things here, because it's you and I now that have been left upon this earth, you and I that have been anointed. We've been given the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it for you. Okay? So we realize that you and I have been left here to have dominion over this earth. See, it gets quiet. Not that there's a mess with people. See, that's the problem. We've been taught that we're nothings. We've been taught that we're nobodies. We've been taught you just have to take whatever comes, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Ain't nothing you can do to change it. And that's not true. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So if I can believe, it's possible. Nothing is impossible if I can believe it. Come on. You see, here's the thing about that. It's not me, but it's God doing it. It's not you, but it's God doing it. I got enough sense to know that. But there's a lot of folks out there, they can't believe, and so they think it's a foolish thing. They think, oh, that's just nonsense. Well, it's nonsense to them. Right? But it's not nonsense to me. Can I tell you that when I go to Haiti and they start speaking in Cree over there, it sounds like nonsense to me? Really? It does? I mean, you know, I'm sitting there listening, seeing if I can pick out anything, you know, and I've picked up a few words along. But I mean, it's just gibberish, right? But for them, it means something. You see, you and I have a language that's unique to the kingdom of God. Did you hear me? We've been given a language. When we got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues, you were given a language that's unique to God's kingdom. And matter of fact, you were given a language that's unique just to you, just like your fingerprints. Each one of you is marked by the language that God gave you. And when you begin to invoke that, and you begin to use that, and you begin to declare things in the kingdom of God, things start happening. Now, the folks that don't believe it, you don't have to worry about them. Nothing's going to happen. They ain't going to see no power. They ain't going to see nothing happen. It's just not going to work because they don't believe it. You cannot have faith and doubt and unbelief at the same time. You've got to have faith. You've got to believe. Now, so Jesus told him, he said, have faith in God. He had spoken to the tree. He said, speak to the mountain. But then he said, there's another avenue of faith that we can pray and believe and receive things. Right? But let's go look and see what the Lord says here in John 14:12. Notice what he says. I assure you, this is amplified, okay? John 14:12. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me. Now let me just stop right there. Does anybody in here steadfastly believe in him? All of us better, because we're believers. If anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do. See, now we're messed up. If anybody steadfastly believes in me, he himself will be able to do the things that I do. Is Jesus a liar? No. Let's read the rest of it. And he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. Wow. Now, you know, if that's not true, then we might just go home. Because if that's not true, then we can't trust anything else in the Word of God. And for our minds, they tilt. Jesus said, I can do what he does and greater things I can do. Well, he said, you can do it because I go to my Father. Well, what's he talking about? Well, he's sending the Holy Spirit back when he goes to his Father so he can inhabit us all. And so we do what he does individually. But as a body, we can do greater things because there was only one of him. And the Spirit operated only in one of him. But now there's all of us believers together that the Holy Spirit's working in. So the Holy Spirit can be over here working something. He can be over here working something. He can be over here working something. When Jesus was here, he could only be where Jesus was at. So that's the greater things that he's talking about. We can, and not just that. I think we're going to see some of the greatest miracles that have ever been as we go into this end time. Because I'm telling you, the world is growing so cold against God that it's going to, again, take the signs, the wonders, and the miracles to open up eyes, because people's hearts have been hardened to where they won't believe. There's almost a place now, we've come through the generations to the point that there's almost now no desire to know God. So many people have no, they don't even know anything about God because He's not being taught now. You see, when we grew up, we had missionaries come into the school and they taught you about God. I mean, they'd take time out of the classroom, let them tell you a Bible story and tell you about God. Now they don't even want a Bible in the school or a Ten Commandments on the wall or anything else. They want them out. Now, thank God there's teachers and that kind of thing that are still putting them in there despite what everybody thinks. They don't care because they believe God, and thank God for that. But I'm just telling you, the world as a whole and the way that the world's going, if you can't see how the enemy's working in those things, then you're not opening your eyes up spiritually. You have to see the things that are going on, how detrimental they are and how much they are against the Word of God and against faith. How odd that on Easter Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday day, we would declare a day of gen visibility. Or gender visibility or whatever it was. Whatever. I don't know. I just know he basically recognize transgender people. Was it trans visibility? That's what it was called, wasn't it? In other words, we're going to give them a day. That's going to be the day, March 31st. Now, just like Lincoln. We don't have Lincoln's birthday anymore. I'm sorry. He didn't have a day. We crammed all them into one day and called it President's Day. But we have other days. See, it got real quiet. The church has got to stand up and start declaring some things. We've got to stand up and start speaking and pulling down these strongholds. We have to see that there is not over this only over this area a stronghold, but over our whole country there's a ruling, reigning demonic spirit that is absolutely influencing our government and people and in the craziness that's going on. You see it happening. And the only one that can stop it, you and I, the children of God, the church, we're the ones that have the power to affect it. I know this is some heavy stuff, but you've got to understand, God is speaking to us and telling us that we're supposed to do that. He says, the things I do. Well, what is it that you came to do, Jesus? The Word says, for this reason was the Son of God manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. That He might destroy the works of the devil. So if that's what He do, that's what we do. Right? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Whatever He did, we're supposed to do. You're trying to say that you're Jesus. No, I'm not. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I've been anointed with the same Holy Ghost He was anointed with. I'm in the same family as He is. I have the same Father that He has, but I'm not Him. But you know what? I'm me. And you're you. And God has anointed us to move and do the things that He did while He was here. And part of that is beginning to speak to some things, using our faith to speak. Now, look over here. I told you I'd show you something. Look over in Mark chapter 4 for me. Mark chapter 4. Look at verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship, and there was also with them other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake Him, and say to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now notice something again. Jesus did not pray, Heavenly Father, would you, if you would, please calm this wind. Please calm this sea. We don't want to drown. And right? He wasn't praying. He walked out there. They're all afraid. One guy, in order to explain this way, said, oh, he wasn't talking to the sea. He was talking to the disciples, trying to get them to calm down. What did the Bible say? He rebuked the winds. And he spoke to the sea and said, Peace be still. And it stilled. And the winds calmed down. He spoke to it. Why did he? Again, this was not a natural storm. It was not just the workings of the atmospheric conditions that was going on here. This was a storm generated to try to kill Jesus. To try to sink his ship, drowned him right out there. Jesus got up, walked up there, spoke to the wind, spoke to the sea, and said, I command you, stop now. Because greater is He that's in us, greater is He that was in Jesus than he that's in the world. The sea had to obey Jesus. The wind had to obey Jesus. No matter what had caused it to come up, it had to obey Him. I'm telling you, if you'll begin to get yourself to the place where you understand who you are in Christ Jesus, when you understand the authority and the power that you've been given by God to manipulate, to inject, to even change circumstances, situations, even ones that people say you don't got anything you can do about. When you start understanding, oh yes, there's something I can do about it. Amen. You start speaking to those situations. You start injecting the power of God in those situations. Now, see, let me just help you a little bit, okay? So that you understand. People that have knowledge and know, they know and understand that the power that's in them is not their power. It is the power of God working through them. Right? In Luke chapter 10, remember, Jesus calls the disciples, the 70 return, and they're like, Lord, even the devils were subject to us. Jesus begins to say, I saw Satan fall like lightning. In other words, he said, I was there when Satan was kicked out of heaven. And he said, I'm going to give you all power over all the power of the devil. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. But he said, don't you rejoice because you have power over the devil. You rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, what you and I do is we rejoice in God. We thank God. We stand and praise and worship our Lord. And the power that's been endued to us, we use that for the kingdom of God, but we never take the credit. We're smart enough to know that it's not our power, but God's power working through us. Right? See, here's the thing. That's a good thing. Because it's not, my job is to speak and stand and pray and declare and do all the things the Word tells me to do. God's job is to bring it to pass. See, let me, you take an extension cord, electric cord. Let's say you cut the end off an extension cord, plug it into the wall, and the other end's open two wires there. You know what? That extension cord itself has no power to itself. Right? I mean, the cord, there's no power. But man, on the other end of that cord, it can deliver what's running through it. Did you hear me? What's running through it, it can deliver it wherever it needs to be delivered. You and I are an extension cord. We are an extension cord of the power of God. We're plugged into the socket. We're plugged into the power. We're plugged into God. And God uses us to carry that power and release it wherever it's needed. And if we're not releasing that power, then we're nothing more than just a cord laying there. A cord laying in your house doesn't do you a bit of good, right? A phone charger will not charge anything until a phone is plugged into it, right? Well, see, you and I got to get plugged in. We got to make sure that we're declaring and calling those things that be not as though they were. We need to be using our faith to stand and come against things that we know are not right in this earth. No matter what it is, there's things that we need to be speaking in our government. We need to be speaking against and declaring against. There's things that we need to be calling in. You'll decree a thing and it'll come to pass. See, you can't. Now, that's just crazy now, Pastor. You just went off. No. See, that's just it. That's the thing that the devil doesn't want us to know. He doesn't care. You can go to heaven all you want. Just leave his kingdom alone. But when you start then influencing the kingdom of God into the world, into his darkness, and start bringing light in, he gets mad about that. That's why he's attacking churches around here, is because light's starting to come into this place. Some teaching about faith and about how God wants people to be blessed and not live in poverty. And we're not just poor old Appalachian people, but we are mighty men and women of God with some of the greatest talent of anywhere else in the country. But you see, the enemy has tried to keep us down and laugh and mock and all the folks that think they are somebody. Well, you know, the Bible says if you think you are somebody, better take heed lest you fall. Amen. So we need to understand who we are and begin to declare and speak power into this darkness. Amen. Speak light into the darkness. When we need protection, we need to speak against whatever it is we need protection from. Amen. Whether it's a storm, it doesn't matter. The reports all day long was McGoffin County and this area was going to get hit hard. Tornadoes everywhere. Now, I understand there were some places that they hit, but some folks were praying. Some folks were speaking. And you know what? It came through. It rained a little bit. It thundered a little bit. It lightened a little bit and moved to other places. Now, you know, we can only be responsible for ours. You know, I mean, I'll speak for other people too in other places, but they've got to believe it. They've got to stand in faith too. If we'll all, as the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is everywhere, but not everybody's been taught that you've got to get out there and you've got to speak against this thing before it ever starts. Amen. That you declare it and already tell it. You can't touch nothing of mine. Amen. Come on now. I know that, again, folks are thinking, but it's okay. Let them think what they want to. I know it works. Amen. I've seen it work time and time and time again in our lives. Our house got tore up one time by straight line winds. And it's before I really realized how much and how important it was to speak against these things before they ever come up. Amen. You see, we got to learn this, church. We got to learn to speak power. You got to learn that we have been placed here to have dominion and have influence over the whole earth. The glory of God fills the earth. Amen. And the power of God resides in us for us to affect everything around us. Did you hear me? Affect everything around us. We need to be affecting our families. Come on, our neighborhoods, our county, this region, this state. Come on. There's some things that need to be pulled down that we need to pull down. There's some things that need to be spoken to so that we stop their operation now. But it's going to be up to us, the church, to have the faith to speak the power that's necessary to bring about the things of God that need to be established. See, when we get God in everything, it's going to infect not only our lives, but it's going to affect the lives of other people. Just like when the enemy's in charge. Remember, the Bible says, you know, when the wicked are in authority, the people mourn. It affects everybody. But when the righteous rule, the nations rejoice. It's time for some rejoicing in our nation. It's time for rejoicing in our area. It's time for rejoicing in the church once again, because we're going to rule and reign. We're going to take our part as children of God, to rise up, to speak, to pray, and take the Word of God and apply it to this whole area. And when we do, we're going to see changes. You're going to see things happen. You're going to see favor come about. You can see there's some things I can't even talk about that I've already seen that's come to pass since we've been praying. And there's some things that I've seen happen to the enemy that came against us and is coming against us. And there's things happening. And I don't know whether they know it or not, but I know it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And so here's the thing, though. We praying. I'm praying. And this is the prayer. That everything, every demonic force is stopped. And every person influenced by that, their hearts will be turned to Jesus. And we'll see a great revival. We'll see God take this thing and work it all together for good. And He'll get the glory for it. Because He's the one that can do that. But you and I have to do our part. We've got to stand in faith and believe God. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. It's all up to us. We have to choose to do it, to speak it, to act on it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You, Father God, that You've endued to us and given us the power to occupy till You come. Now I ask You, help us, Lord. Lord, to be mindful of what we have available to us through and by the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God,